Rose Perks is brought to you today by Michelle McKibben, who is a California mortgage loan officer with People's Home Equity Mortgage. And you can email her for more information at McKibben, McKibbin, Michelle@yahoo.com.
And our newest premium subscriber, thanks to Megan Campbell. Megan's a Southern California realtor specializing in Orange County market. She can be reached at facebook.com/Megan Campbell Realtor. That's C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L Realtor. Megan Campbell Realtor at facebook.com. You guys, Megan keeps it 100, okay? Hello and welcome to Rose Pricks, a podcast all about the Bachelorette with a little Rachel making a choice. I'm Ronnie Caron from the Watch What Crappens podcast, and here I am with my lovely co-host and friend, Stephanie Wilder-Taylor, Crying Out Loud, and also the Sword and Scale Rewind podcast. Hello, Stiff.
You know it.
Oh, babe.
I feel it already. This is going to be hilarious.
Well, we just did our bonus episode, which is all about Ann Coulter tweeting at Delta mean stuff, and then R. Kelly possibly taking hostages in a guest house.
Allegedly. Because let's just put it this way, Ronnie was on the side of R. Kelly.
Guys, it was a point counterpoint. Okay, real fun episode. So go check that out if you need to feel some anger towards me.
And listen, it's good that we're doing this so late and we're loopy, because I had some real sad feelings about this episode, and we're going to get into it, but it's just good that I can process and go on that journey tonight rather than sleep on it and be sad and then talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah. Stephanie had some triggering moments, and tonight it's all about vulnerability and walls down. So we're going to be exploring some walls and vulnerabilizing.
Yes.
With you guys. Okay.
But first, Eric's hometown.
Eric is like, hey, that. Eric's like, hey, welcome to Baltimore. Isn't it beautiful? Baltimore is so beautiful. It's a beautiful town. Look at this beautiful lake. Hey, look at that beautiful sidewalk. Okay. This isn't the neighborhood I came from. Just wanted you to see this first. It's like, wait a second, Eric. He's all tricky. He's totally trying to trick her right from the beginning.
My neighborhood has a lot of drugs, but this one is just pretty.
Yeah, he's like, this isn't the realness of where Eric come from. Okay.
So for some reason, Rachel is working a half tuck on her shirt. Did you notice that?
Yeah, she is. Like, she's like, look, I'm Jenny from the block. I'm like, no, you're not. You don't tuck in like one of your tails into your skinny jeans. Okay. Okay, Rachel.
Oh my God, we were totally same page. I had that same thought.
She's
no,
like,
you're not just like a homegirl. Yeah. Look at me. I'm not a lawyer. What? No.
She's like, this shirt is not from the Limited. It is from the Express. Okay.
Oh my God. Okay. So I was feeling right from the beginning that Rachel is not into Eric. I was like, either A, she just kind of feels bad for him, or B, she's worried about only having white guys left and what that's going to do to her rep.
Yes. I mean, maybe. I mean, I have no idea. I love Eric the most. But I feel like he's obviously the most different from everybody she's picked, right?
Yeah,
but I love this guy. And he's like, well, this is my neighborhood. My neighborhood's different. So first, I'm going to show you the baseball bat store. So he's talking about the hood as they go along. He's like, a lot of drug dealer, a lot of crime. Look, there's drug dealer right there. Look out the window. If you look to the right of the window, you'll see drug dealer. Hey, what's up? Hey.
He's like, hey. He's like, that's where my friend Ernie got his first crack pipe. I love this corner.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's go play some basketball.
Yeah, he's so cute. So they go basketball courting or whatever, and he's like, we both win. So they're kissing, and then his friend comes, and he's like, hey, and then Eric's like, hey.
Right before that, Rachel's like, you know what? Eric is so positive. He's just got so much energy. He's truly someone who seizes the day. Could that be such a load of nothing?
Rachel had a lot of Instagram memes in Eric's hometown. They just kept coming on out. She's like, no matter what he goes through, he sure knows how to get out of bed in the morning. God, that Eric. Gotta hand it to him. The way that Eric eats breakfast. Wow, God, I'm really feeling things for Eric. I'm like, oh, Rachel.
So, okay, so yeah, Raul, they meet his or friend, Ralph or somebody?
Yeah,
Ralph. Was it Ralph or Raul? I wrote Raul or Ralph. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is my impression of Ralph, Raul. He's like, I'm just proud of this man right here. He's the truth. You know, I know you know. I know you know he's the truth. Anyway, I'm super proud of him and his journey.
Yeah. And he's like, and this whole frame is looking really right to me, because he's like framing them in the picture. Yeah. And Eric's like, hey. And then Rachel's like, you know, Eric has really had to be a go-getter.
Hey.
And he put on his big boy pants and he did it himself. I'm like, oh, Rachel, you are not made for this scene.
Yep.
So then he talks about his story. Go on, Boo.
Yeah. He's like, you know, my parents were successful on the streets, you know, but my best friend, he got locked up in the 10th grade for 4 months. But like all the women in my family are strong. Like they're all strong.
Yeah. And then like he took care of his friend in jail, and then he took care of his friend's family while the friend was in jail. And I did like that he said that my family thing, because when he said, you know, growing up, like, I had hardships and pains. I had to get what I wanted all the time. My family was from the streets. But, you know, my family was very successful in the streets. So I like that he's, like, still, like, you know, embracing the positive in the situation. Like, they weren't just, like, lame on the streets. Like, they did really well. Like, everyone knows them and stuff. And so Rachel's like, yeah, but who took care of you? Which I don't know if they forgot, but they just did this, like, last time.
He's
like, no one came to take care of me. She's like, I cannot believe that. I'm like, yes, you can, because we've already heard this. Like, it's sad the first time, but like the fifth time.
Right.
I don't know. It's practice. I don't like that about this show.
And it just feels very codependent and weird. And Rachel's like, well, if I offer you help, will you be able to accept the help that I'm offering you today? It's like, it's not an intervention, Rachel.
I know. And he's like, I need help. I need help. He did that thing again. He's like, yes, I need help, which every girl wants to hear, you know?
She's like, Eric, there's a lot of people here who love you like crazy and just want you to get better. Will you please accept the help we're offering right now?
He's like, will you leave today? I'm not a hoarder. I just like collecting bottle caps. I'm keeping this pad that I took from the Marriott in Denmark. That's it. I'm keeping it. So she's like, look, will you let me help you? Here's my card. Yeah. Pro bono. Come to my office. So she's like, oh, my God, it just hit me. I'm the first girl he's bringing home.
Yep. She's like, it's a lot of pressure. So they go to his house, and her way of dressing up from basketball, this is how I knew that they were not taking this whole hometown visit seriously, because a lot of times they go and they change or they get ready a little bit. But this one, she tucked the side that was untucked, she tucked. Did you notice that?
That's Rachel. That's her day to evening
look. She was
like,
this is formal. So I'm all tucked. Like, this isn't, I'm not playing like Jenny from the block anymore. Like, this is Rachel from the court.
Yeah, okay? This is Rachel who just won the basketball game against the guy who got himself out of bed in the morning or whatever.
Yep. Then, okay, so they walk in the house. And I don't know what I was expecting, but this family is like the greatest, warmest, happiest family I've ever seen on The Bachelorette ever.
I know. And it made me also.
Hi. They're hugging. It's like the most normal, cool family.
Yes. And something that never happens on this show is that when it gets to this point, we meet the families. I want to marry two of the guys based on their family. Like, I already liked Eric, but I want to marry into this family. I need
me
his
too.
Aunt. What is his aunt's name? Is it Velma? But I need
forgot,
her in my life.
She needs to be my mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then also, not Dean's family, because they were the worst. Peter's family was really nice, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're so nice, and they're all like, hey!
I know, and they cannot wait to unload him. Like, they are the opposite of every other family, because they're just like, oh my God, girl, take him. He is ready.
Get They're like, walls down, walls down. Vulnerable, take his ass. Please. Please take him.
They're like, oh, he's ready. He is so ready.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I love him. And so his aunt's like, okay, Rachel. She gets alone time with Rachel first. And she's like, let's get into the big word here. She's like, let's get in. She looks just like Eric. She's so cute.
Yeah.
She's like, let's get in the big word here, race. Were you prepared? And Rachel's like, well, you know, it's a lot of pressure because I'm being judged by both groups, like black people and everybody else. And she's like, yeah, because now you have to worry about what an entire group of people thinks. And Rachel says, yeah, and love has no color, so my journey should be no different from the other girls. And in fact, it's not. I mean, I'm going to end up with a white dude, too.
Exactly. That's what I wrote. And I'm going to make the best decision for me, and that's not to pick your son.
Yeah.
Or which, nephew.
As we, you know, as I said last week, is her choice. You know, you go, girl. So
yeah,
Rachel.
So Rachel asks if Eric, she asks the aunt if Eric's ready to get married. And she's like, OMG, like totally, he's so ready.
Yeah, he is not afraid of commitment. Take him.
Yep.
Take him.
And so, then you find out why they opened with the aunt. Because the mom is a little, she's kind of the sadder one.
The mom is not, the mom does not have many legs to stand on here, basically.
No.
Because Eric does a really good job about, he does a good job with honoring her, even though she's a shithead, basically.
Yeah.
Because she's like, so what makes you think she's the one? He's like, look, I mean, I can't control everything, but I'm not going to run. You know, I mean, if it hurts, it hurts. What in life doesn't hurt? You know, like our relationship wasn't easy. I wanted you to be there and you were never there. But that's it, you know, because you weren't there. But now you're here and it's OK. You know, I didn't die. I mean, you weren't there. Yeah. I wanted to die, but I didn't die. And now you're here. And look, I got this pad from a Marriott. And she's like, yeah, you're right. And she's like, well, I know it seemed like I was a bad mom. But if you looked around, everybody we knew, all the boys were grabbing onto their moms. And I didn't want you to reach for your mom like them. And that's why I was like that. It's like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for the abandonment, mom. Let's hug. Yep.
Yep. And, what's this
and,
part?
Oh, and what? Then he says, if you hadn't shut that door with us. And she goes, yeah, if I hadn't shut that door with us, you wouldn't have been opened up for love. And he's like, well, I forgive you. I love you. This is my pad. Stop trying to ride on it. They hug. And then so Rachel and the mom are next.
Yes.
Eesh. Yes.
Yeah. And she's like, so what about Eric draws you to him? Also, do you have any Xanax? Because I just took my last benzos and I need another one.
Tylenol PM does not work as well. And Rachel's like, he's funny, he's smart, he challenges me, he calls me out, and then we talk about it, but then we come out better for it. And she's like, like this mom. So then Eric and the dad's like, what's going on? He's like, I've never been this happy. Like, I'm so happy right now. I don't know why I'm this happy. And the dad's like, well, I want to thank your friends for bringing all these empty vases to put on the shelves. Because they've really lightened the place up.
And then Eric's like, hey, it's all good. Hey, lots of love, lots of love.
I like Eric when he described her life. He's like, her life is totally different than mine. Like, she could watch PG-13 movies, you know?
Yeah, that was the only difference.
And the dad is like, look, I'm sorry I put you through stuff when you were a kid. But where are we going, man? And he's like, I'm going to shut it down. And the dad's like, well, you got my support. Hey!
Hey!
That part was cute. But they really did bring in empty vases and put them all over the shelves. Did you notice that? What is wrong with this TV show?
I don't know. The art department only has one trick up their sleeve. That's what's wrong.
And how offensive. Like, hey, Eric's family, we're going to put a bunch of empty vases all over your house because it's not good enough. You bunch of jerks.
So then they sit at the table and Eric gives a toast and it's like the same thing. Like, I've been running away from her love my whole life and thank my family. Hey, hey.
And he's like, I've never really been happy like this, but today, I mean, like, I really love you. And by that, I mean, oh no, this was after the toast in private time. He's like, I really love you and like, I care about you. And what I love you means is like, I care about your well-being. And where you are in life, you know what I mean?
So I watched that and I was like, oh God, that's just what he. So what I mean is that I care about you a lot. And then luckily Rachel called him on that to the camera, but she was like, yeah, he said he loves me or was falling for me. But then why did he follow it up with that means I care about you a lot.
Yeah, I care about your well-being. Like, is he a nurse or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, here, put this under your tongue. Okay, hold it. Hold it. Oh, you're 98.9. I knew it. I knew it. And she's like, I really like him. I'm definitely falling for him. I was like, you are not. Okay, yeah, so now let's go to Miami.
Yes, chiropractor.
For the cheesiest ass chiropractor on the planet. Oh, God.
But you know, here's the thing. This is how it is on every season. You've only been in through this for a few seasons now, this show. But you can always tell at this point who they're going to pick, because she's just like jumps into his arms, is making out with him like the second they're together. Yeah. And you'll see she doesn't do that with any of the other ones. She doesn't even try to pretend. She does not make out with them. She does like once or twice for the camera. But with him, they're constantly making out.
But he's so gross. He is so gross. He's wearing like leggings or something. He's just so gross. And he brought a one-person umbrella in the rain. He's just gross. There's like nothing I like about him and his chipmunk cheeks. He's so insincere. He's such a cheese ball. And he's like, oh, welcome to Miami. That like hard sucky kiss he does. And he's like,
he tries to eat her face.
Then he tries to win me over because he's like, I know you love Domino's. And I'm like, God damn it. I refuse to start liking this person right now in episode 8. I refuse. But it's Domino Park.
Yeah, it's Domino Park, and they go to hang out with some professional gamblers, and I think they thought this was going to be super adorable, but the problem is nobody spoke English, and it's Domino's. So that whole scene lasted, like, literally 25 seconds.
Well, luckily, we have Google Translate, and I know a little Spanish. So when he started talking to the old man, I could kind of figure it out. He said, esta estúpida puta me gusta y si me escoge voy a conseguir un montón de seguidores de Instagram. Por lo no que me llaman que hasta que sea lo viejo o voy a cortar la garganta de mierda. And so I looked that up and it means, this stupid slut likes me. And if she picks me, I'm going to get a lot of Instagram followers. So don't call me gay until she's gone, old man, or I'll cut your fucking throat.
Yes, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so thank you, Google Translate. Thank you.
So then they go and eat some Cuban food, probably. I don't know. They're in Miami. And here's some music. And I'm just getting excited to meet the crazy mom at this point. I'm like, I know what's coming. So let's just cut to that.
Let me explain things with my family before you meet them. You know, opposites attract with my parents. My dad is Joe. He's soft-spoken, charming, charismatic. And she's like, oh, like father, like son. God, you're too charming for me. Have I mentioned that? You are just so charming. And he's like, yeah, like father, like son, right? But then on the opposite end, you have the fireball, the sensitive one. And remember, I'm an only child. It's like, oh, no, here comes the crazy bitch.
Yeah.
And then Rachel says, I'm nervous because I know it didn't go well for you last time. And he says, well, you know, it wasn't really my family. It was more on the other person than them.
Yeah. She was kind of crazy. It's not my mom's fault. Red flag.
Yeah.
And then some, like, Cuban horror movie music plays. Did you notice that? It was like, boom, 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 boom. And then the house was a little bit out of Scarface. Did you notice that?
Yes. And then we see the mom, and she looks crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh,
right away, her eyes are just fucking crazy. She runs to... Okay, you remember how when Rachel saw Brian in this, she ran and jumped on him? That's basically what the mother did to Brian, too. She's like, And then he's like, okay, let's make this a group hug. Let's make it a group hug, Mom. She's like, oh! Like, not letting him go. Rachel's like, oh, this is totally normal. So she's like, oh, let's have a toast to welcome the most precious thing I have
in my life.
Oh, my God, the most precious thing, like the sun coming up in the morning. And without him, the flowers would all be dead in the yard. There would be no flowers. Oh, let us drink. And then they show her chugging her little shot glass. And she's the only one chugging it down while she's crying.
Yes. And then they go to the dad, and he's just kind of smiling uncomfortably. He's like, huh. And then the mom tells Rachel, Brian is my life. Anyone that tries to separate him from me will devastate me. No, she says that to just to the camera in general.
Yes. And she's like,
so the mom pulls, Rachel, what you think you have to do with my son? The most important thing in the morning to me, the flower that comes from the soil, and the life that is breathed into the frogs so they can make lily pad jumps.
And Rachel's like, well, when I stepped out of the limo, I saw there was a spark. And when I had one on one time, what'd she say? She's like, something, something, something. And, oh, yeah, she goes, and then when we had one on one time, let's just say he made the most of it. And the mom's like, oh, tong, tong, tong. She looks at her like, oh, you little slut, you put your tongue on my son.
Then the mom goes off with Brian, and she's like, what qualities do you see in her that I don't have? And Brian's like, well, you know, I mean, she's like really beautiful and she's a really great person and blah, blah, blah. And she just like completely ignores him. And she's like, Brian, you've met so many women. Why do you think some whore from a TV show is going to be good for you? And he's like, well, I... And he's like, she better not mess with the mother. If she mess with the mother, she dies. Mother is blood.
No kidding. She's like, I'm chalk, chalk, Brian, chalk. So many girls in your life. And then you go on a show and meet this whore. Oh, Brian, you could have chosen so many people. But marriage is difficult. Marriage is difficult. If she mess with the mom, that is no good. We are blood. I was like, oh, my God. She's like the guy in Breaking Bad. He's like in the nursing home, you know, with the two sons. She's terrifying.
Yep. So then almost worse is the sister. So Rachel's with the sister and Rachel's like, yeah, so, you know, I mean, the one thing that kind of worries me is that Brian had that other girlfriend and, you know, the other girl didn't really seem to get along with your mom. And she's like, well, the other girl wanted Brian all to herself. And that was her demise. I'm like, oh, God.
Like, look at this, Rachel. You just want to be part of the family. But she didn't. She wanted the family to be part of her schedule. And this is the wrong thing to do. And Rachel's like, well, I noticed that when I was drinking, that drink your mom gave me, there was a nail in my glass. It's like, oh, yes. But you can see that Mama just wanted to help you build a nice, strong home. This other girl might have said, oh, murder, bloody blah, blah. It's like, my stomach hurts.
This family is fucking terrifying, okay? But Rachel, as usual, sees nothing wrong with anything. Like, she cannot see any kind of signs, as usual.
No, it's so right.
So then Rachel gets Olga to herself, and she's like, oh, Raquel.
You tell me what quality my son have that you like to consider him. You tell me what kind of quality you think he has, huh?
So she's like, well, I like Brian because he's open and honest and he's giving and he makes me feel so wonderful. I mean, I've never met anybody that treats me like a better person and like such a good person, and he makes me a better person. And she's like, how dare you try to steal my Brian from his mother? You will go down for this. Brian is my life.
Yeah, she basically did. She's like, Brian is very, very, very close with the family. He's my life. And I want to advise you and give you a warning. You marry the family too. You marry the family. So get down on your knee and tell me what you like about me. Go do it, Rachel. And she's like, well, it's like, have you ever been to a county fair?
No.
Well, you know how they have bobbing for apples?
No, stupid American tradition. I'd never hear.
Well, they do. You bob for apples. And I feel like your son bobs for apples, and the apple is my throat, and he's just trying to get it with his teeth. You know what I mean?
Oh, you die. You die slow. You die without your finger, your toe. I take your throat with my bare hand. How you like that?
She's like, so good to meet you.
She's like, say hello to my little friend. And that was the end of the show.
But she literally did say,
if he is happy, then I'm happy. If he is not happy, I kill you.
Yeah. And she's like, And then the mom at the end tries to like save face. And she's just like, well, I meet this Rachel. I look at her face and I see she look like a good person. If she wants to make him happy, okay.
Yeah, you know that this woman heals everything with crying. Like, she's the most horrible person, but then she cries to become the victim.
Yes.
Because now she's like, oh, it's just that in the day I leave, I want to be at peace because he has someone to take care of him. Oh, the love of my life.
Yeah, it was the scariest psycho scene ever.
It was really sad. And then
until two scenes from now.
Except until this next scene when Rachel's like, oh my God, they were so nice. I was like, hello, yeah. Rachel. And then the chiropractor is like, Rachel, I'm in love with you, and I don't want to hold these feelings back anymore. My mom got a boner. I'm in for the long haul.
And she's like, oh my God, he told me he loves me. Which, by the way, he basically kind of said the same thing. He was like, I'm in love with you, and I care about you a lot. But
yeah.
She didn't have a problem with him caring about her a lot. Oh, but when Eric cares about her a lot, it's a federal crime. She's got to get her dad involved.
I think,
to judge him.
I think because Eric said, I care about your well-being. And she's like, what the hell? Is this a CVS? Like, is he going to take my blood pressure? What the hell? So
okay.
Now let's go over to Madison, Wisconsin, home of the cheese curd model, Peter. Who's so thrilled. He's like, I'm excited. I'm really, really excited that Rachel is coming to meet my family.
Yeah, but I'm concerned. I'm just not ready.
Yeah, I just
that
wrote.
The
he's
theme.
Like a really hot robot. He's like a fleshbot.
Yeah, and Rachel's like, yeah, I'm concerned. He's not ready. And
think?
Then he's like, I'm concerned. I'm not ready.
He's like, hey, you want to go get a hot dog? Unfortunately, they're not ready yet, so I'm willing to wait. How about you? She's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I love hot dogs. I'm like, still not getting it.
By the way, I have to interject here that Rachel is so pretty. She especially looked pretty in this scene. I was like, she's getting better looking in all the scenes.
I think I also because she's like allowed to be casual in this one. It's like the first time we've seen her without a ball gown, you know? It's like,
oh yeah,
I'm on a fishing boat in a ball gown. It's like, So he's like, well, this is something we do here. Every Saturday we have this thing called a farmer's market. I'm like, yes, Peter, the world has those. Okay. He's like, look, right over there is where I used to pose wearing nothing but cheese curds on my crotch. The girls went wild. And then there's a dude with a basket on his head. And she's like, you know what? I'm not sure that he's ready. Walls up, journey. Walls down, vulnerable. Hopefully we'll break some walls down. So he takes her to like a sandwich shop and she meets his friends. And it made me really like him because he's friends with so many fat people. I love you, cheese model.
Wow, that's so funny that's what you noticed.
Yeah.
I felt like he purposely had like two black friends and their white wives. And he was like, oh my God, like in case you were at all concerned about like, you know, an interracial coupling. Look at all these interracial couples that I personally know some of them.
It's like the choir director at church who he's never hung out with before. He's like, hey, would you like to come on The Bachelor for a little while? We're best friends, right, buddy? We're best friends, right, buddy? Hey, this is my postal worker and my best friend.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. I was like, they're fat. I love him.
Well,
and then when he goes, my friends hold the most weight in my heart. I was like, oh my God, he's like cementing my love.
So then he, let's see. So he goes to talk to the guys and he's like, guys, I don't think I'm ready. I'm terrified. I mean, like I might have to get down on one knee in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And all the guys are like, oh my God, it's all good. She's totally genuine. It's great. Just do it.
Yeah, the guys didn't really seem to know him. You're right, I guess, now that I think about it. But he's like, you know, I don't know what it's like to wake up next to her and, you know, what it's like to really feel these feels. They're like, And then he said, don't be scared of the future. If you know it's the right person, you just know. I'm like, he doesn't. That's the point.
Right. At all.
Yeah.
And he's like, the guys are like, it's all good. She's genuine. Don't fuck it up. And he's like, I don't like to make rash decisions. Something to know about me, since you guys don't know me at all. I don't like to make decisions fast or decide things in the moment. Or, you know, make a decision about deciding things. Like, that's just not who I am.
Yeah, and his friends are like, remember how you told us you were going to buy us lunch, but you didn't let us order anything? So then they go to the family, and his mom has big spiky hair. And she's like, oh, Rachel, nice to meet you. Do you like Guy Fieri? DDD, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, am I right? GGG, Guy's Grocery Games. Any of these ringing a bell for you, hun? She's like, Peter was the first one to come out of the limo. She's like, okay, I'm going to take you as a diner's kind of a girl. Me too.
She's like, listen, Peter's walls are like my hair, not coming down.
Both of them were deadened by one of those fellas who stands at the Home Depot waiting for a jab. And neither one are coming down anytime soon. Would you like some cheese curds, hun? So Peter's like, yeah, I was the first one out of the limo, and I accidentally grabbed her butt. And then his nephew or niece starts cracking up because he said butt. And he's like, really? Because I said butt. And she's like, and the whole family's laughing. And Rachel's like, oh, my God. Like, my heart is melting because he is making that kid laugh so hard. But will he propose?
Yeah. And did you notice that the couch situation seemed to be a series of Lazy Boy recliners lined up together? Seriously, did you notice that?
Yes, I'm totally down for that. I'm down for a Joey and Chandler kind of a marriage, you know?
Is that a thing, though?
I don't know. I think after you've been married long enough, it's better to just have a recliner. It's like, I don't want to touch your leg. I would rather have somewhere to put my big gulp.
But there were like four of them just sort of like pushed together. So there were cup holders like in the middle. It was really weird. It was like being on a plane. Like a really nice plane. Like where all the seats are first class. Oh. But they all recline and have cup holders.
Oh. That's funny. Rachel, I didn't notice that.
So Rachel says to his sister that she wants to get married. She's like, I just think Peter, like seeing him like with your kid was like, oh my God, like I could kind of see like how he would be as a dad. And it made me so happy. But like, I want to be married. Yeah. Like I want him to be a dad to my baby. Yeah, like, what do you
sister,
think?
The and sister she goes, has... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, and she's like, well, yeah, I mean, he is like, he is really cool. And like, I'm really hoping that someday, like he might be able to propose to somebody. Like that'd be great.
Yeah. His sister is full of just like short, shallow things. She's like, oh, that's him. What you see is what you get. Hard on his sleeve. You know, he's just that kind of guy. Thump, thump, thump. Oh, it's his sleeve going. That's him, huh? And Rachel's like, well, he seems a little reserved. Well, you don't get good tables at the Olive Garden without reservations, do ya? Is being reserved a bad thing? No, it means you're a very special table. A very special table for a very special couple. She's like, is he ready? And she's like, well, he's sick of masturbating, hon. I'll tell you that much. But it takes time. Cheese doesn't come out of a cow with cheese. It comes out as milk. And then it's got to sit there and get all old and moldy. And then someone comes along and cuts off the mold. And boom, suddenly it's delicious. You know what I'm saying? She's like,
She's like, but I just, like, I want, you know, him to marry me. And she's like, yeah, he might propose to someone someday. Probably not you, though. She's like, well, okay.
Did he tell you the story about the girl? That he finally had the guts to leave her and he was driving away and saw her crying in the rearview mirror. That's a family favorite, that one. Love that one. They're going to make that into a movie. So the mom gets the cheese curd model next, and she already looks like she's crying. She's like, my hair hurts. Like, my hair literally is hurting my head, okay? And he's like, my walls aren't coming down. It's so weird. Like, I think I'm ready.
And she's like, maybe the scaffolding is too strong underneath, like my hair. And he's like,
what's this walls up? It's called a house. You're criticizing the house now? What are you going to do without walls up? You're going to live on the floor, you know, just without walls? You know how windy it's going to get in there? It's going to mess up your hair. I mean, my hair could take it, but could yours? And he's like, walls up, down.
My walls are down. My walls are up. My walls are down. She's like, oh, geez, just be quiet, you know? Look, I can see you having something with someone because you need someone to complete you. I mean, right now you're just a lump of nothing sitting there on the floor wondering what walls are. Like, I don't know what to do with you.
And he's like, Mom, like, I really, like, I want my walls to come, I don't know what accent I'm doing now. I want my walls to come down, but they're too strong, Mom. And I don't know how, like, what I'm going to do. Because, like, I want to feel stuff for her, but, like, I don't feel stuff for anybody because I don't know how to feel stuff, you know? Because maybe because of my family. And she's like, you shut your mouth right now. That's not my fault. Like, I just build good, solid, sturdy walls. What? How did I get hurt in this? And he's like, all right, Mom, I'm just saying I might not be ready for marriage. And she's like, okay, then just say that then. Don't start insulting my hair.
So then Rachel gets time with the mom. And she's like, all right, Rachel, where you see yourself 4 years from now? Okay, I know some people have 5-year plans, but that's just too long. Okay? We don't have that much time. So what 4 years? And she's like, well, like, I'm super jealous of my sister's family because my sister's married and having babies. And, like, it's super embarrassing that I'm not. So is Peter emotionally ready? And she's like, well, I'll tell you this much. He's ready for a family to share things with. You know, is there a ring? I don't know. Not necessarily. Like, he's ready to commit, but mostly, you know, he wants someone with a family that he could possibly go to dinner with, you know? He's mostly into that. And she's like, so he would commit but not get married? And she's like, yeah. Plus, it didn't help that you didn't get the butt joke, you know? The kid laughed. The family laughed. You weren't laughing. Did you laugh at the butt joke? I don't think so.
She's like, but I was, like, more watching. And she's like, yeah, well, we're a family that likes butt jokes, so I don't know if you can get that back.
Yeah.
That's a moment that's gone. Yeah. It's gone now.
That butt moment's gone. You're gonna have to just sit there and cross your fingers for a good old fight joke. May come down within the next 4 years. You better hope so. He could marry your dad before he marries you at the rate that we're going here. So Peter's like, yeah, you know, she really fits into my life, but what's the next step? I'm not there yet. Like, she didn't get my butt joke. And I need time to process my emotions and my feelings. You know, yeah. What if the other guy said that they're in love and I didn't? Then what's she going to think? That I'm not ready? Because I'm totally not ready.
Yeah. So then, well, you skipped ahead a little bit. You messed up your notes because that's what he says that after. First he goes, he says to Rachel, you know, I really enjoyed, like, spending the day with you. And I want to continue spending time with you. Like, you're really great. And she looks at him like, uh-huh. And he's like, yeah, and I'm really happy. And then she's like, yeah. And he goes, that's all. I don't have anything. I got nothing else. Jesus. Then he's like, I need time to process the emotions and the feelings.
Yeah.
And she's like,
I need to decide what's going on with my walls.
And then he's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know if the other guys were like, I don't know. Could they have been, like, saying I love you to her? That'd be weird. Like, I don't know, because my walls are up. That's all I know.
He is like, walls
up. I'm just not there. He goes, I'm just not there.
Yeah, he's straight up walls up. So over in Aspen, there's a horse that looks like a cow, which I really like. There was a horse with, like, a cow spotting on it. And I was like, wow, I like Aspen.
Yes.
That's all I noticed. So yeah. Rachel's like, I was concerned Dean wouldn't open up. But last week when he said dead mom again, I decided to give him a fake rose. And then she's, like, walking in the farm wearing a Lisa Rinna QVC duster, which I also have, which is how I recognized it. And I was like, you know what? Own it, baby. Own it. I'm with you, Rachel.
So then we find out that that Dean hasn't seen his father in 2 years. So today's going to be rough, but not for us. Gonna be good for us, rough for him.
Yes, this is like his teenage breakdown moment where he basically told her last week, if you want me to stop acting, you know, like I have no emotions, you have to be ready for me to be a teenager. And if I go through these emotions and then you dump me, I'm gonna feel like a fucking idiot. She's like, no, I want to see you go through emotions. So he's like, dead mom. So now he's here and he hasn't seen his dad, and she's like, that's terrible, but don't you want to see him? And he's like, well, is it my responsibility to call my dad? Because, like, he's the one who abandoned me. So, and then when he laughs, he covers his mouth like Sealy from The Color Purple. And I'm mm-hmm. like, this guy is so broken, and I want him to move in with me immediately. I love him.
Yeah, he's so broken. And just to go back to that for a minute, because I was so team Dean during this, because so he repeats that story. Yeah, my mom died when I was 15, and you know, and then my dad basically left, and she's like, well, he says, well, we haven't seen each other. And she's like, well, why have you reached out? And he's like, no. And she goes, well, why not? Why haven't you reached out? Then that's when he's like, well, it's not my, I mean, is it my responsibility? And she's like, well, did you ever try telling your dad that he wasn't there for you? And I was like, oh, speaking from personal experience, bad idea.
Yeah.
That is not a good idea. And look, I like Rachel, but I don't know how she thinks that she can come in from the outside and be like, you just need to tell him. Just tell him he wasn't there for you. Duh.
Yeah. Why don't you tell your dad he wasn't there for you, Rachel? Your dad who refuses to show up for any family shooting scene ever on the show, even though it's your second time. Yeah, it's hard, I think, for people to empathize sometimes. And look, how can you empathize? None of us really can. None of us. It's very few people who have the experience that this guy has. I mean, he's like, no, I don't think you understand. Like, he's a converted Sikh, okay? He's got a beard down to his belly button. He changed his name to Param Roop, and it means divinely beautiful. And he gave himself that name, which kind of speaks to his character. And she's like, exactly. That's beautiful. And he's like, no, you don't understand. Yeah. His wife's name is San Tartar, and it's because she has tartar, and she didn't name herself. So that speaks to her character. And she's sounds great. I love tartar sauce.
And I've met her twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So then they're standing outside, and it's like this rundown little house in the middle of nowhere. And Dean's like, I just want you to know, this is not an accurate picture of who I am. This is who I was. I'm terrified. And she's like, it's going to be great. No, Rachel, it's not going to be great. I was getting so tense because in all the previews I've seen, this guy reminds me of my stepfather, who is also a terrible narcissist with a long beard who like doesn't consider himself a member of society. And so I was just already completely triggered and going, this is going to be so bad. And it's so much pressure on Dean. He had to go find all these people and get them together who he hasn't seen in a long time. And this is what was going on behind the scenes, as I can only imagine. Dean's like, holy shit. I'm on this show. It's a national television show. I'm making it almost to the end with this beautiful woman, and I have to have some kind of showing. So he has to call this guy, his father, and go be fake and be like, hey, I want to do this show. And the father, I bet you money, was just like, okay, so what is it? And because he's I'm sure never seen the television show. And he's like, okay, so you want us to do your little television show, your little deal with cameras? I'm going to let you into our house. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's like they have to do this thing. It's the hometowns. So then the brothers and the sister come over, and, you know, the dad is all thinking he's doing him a huge favor. So that's what he's walking into. Like, well, the dad all these also people thinks, doing him a big favor.
The dad is also getting to show off, because the dad was a Sikh way later in life. So he's one of those people.
6 years ago.
I have a side of my family that is Hare Krishna. So I'm a little familiar with a lot of this, where they're suddenly like all in saris and like tambourines and shit like that. But nothing really good came out. I mean, there was a lot of darkness there.
Right.
That it's really not my place to go into. But I have a lot of distrust for this kind of thing. Because in general, I find when people go this far into the spiritual blah blah, they're usually either severely broken and trying to heal. Like when people are like doing way too much yoga and putting Instagram memes on every fucking post they have.
Right.
Talking about how positive they are. Or when they go here, a lot of times it's kind of how abuse hides. You know,
right.
Sorry to say it, but I've seen it happen so many times where people hide behind this. Oh, I accept your path. I expect you. Oh, I love your path. And this guy really was putting on a character. It looks like someone poked his damn eye out, first of all. So he couldn't be that nice. You know, it's like a self-defense poke.
Right.
And I just there was a lot that was uneasy here, and especially when someone is this far into something like that but won't take fucking responsibility for any kind of emotional pain and then loses right. his shit immediately whenever he's confronted.
Right. Well, it was all about him. So they walk in, and it's as bad as we expected. And my son Xander goes, oh my God, it's just a bunch of people sitting on the floor looking like genies doing yoga or something. Mm-hmm. And Dean's like, what up, squad?
I like when the dad was like, yeah, well, we've been waiting for the king bean to show up, and here yep. he is, the king bean.
Yeah, but, yep.
And Dean's like, where's the table? Why are we all on the floor?
Oh, we don't have a table.
He's like, yeah. Okay, well, I play the gong, and also, people who play the gong, that's not a real thing, okay?
No, you're not a musician. You play the gong. Yeah. You bang a gong one yeah. time.
You're not a musician because you have a gong, okay?
So he's like, I play the gong, and it's energetic cleansing, and I'd like to share it with you.
I need everyone's head turned towards the gong. Everybody pay attention to me. I'm about to gong. I'm gonging now. Are you watching me gong?
So
I'm going to be doing some gonging. I'm going, please. I'm going to need everyone's attention. I've been working on my gonging for a long time.
You think it was like, easy to get a matching pink sari with my new mung bean wife? It wasn't. You will turn your head towards a gong.
I've just got some purple Nikes for everyone to put on, and then I need you to lay on this mat and take these pills.
I've made some Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I've made some delicious, delicious Kool-Aid. So yeah. Dean looks like he wants to kill himself. And it's like, yeah. gong, dong a dong, 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 ding a long, dong. And he goes, and exhale, non.
Yeah. And then I know you're with me on this, fucking Rachel's into it, which I wanted to put a knife through her skull at this point. She's like, this is great.
Yeah. Everyone's so welcoming and accepting. I'm like, yes. Yeah. So was David Koresh.
Yeah, I feel like either Rachel's just never been around people who aren't close at all, or she's just extremely insensitive. Because this was just, how could you not read the tension in that room?
Well, she's also just, it's like trying to be accepting of a different culture and stuff like that. But this is like a made up culture. It's not the same,
right.
You know?
Of course, yeah. So then there's this scene where the dad is sort of holding court. And he holds up these feathers and he's like, these feathers represent my dead wife, Deborah, I think. And she was just so great. She's the greatest. I mean, next to you, dear Tartar, Sarah Tartar, whatever yeah, her name Tartar. Is.
She's like, oh, that's the sweetest thing I ever heard in my life. I'm going to cry. And he's yeah. like, these are just symbols of love because she believed that love was in feathers. And feathers is what I'm going to pass on. And feathers are her sign. So I got some Debbie feathers from Hobby Lobby. And I would like to give them to all of you. Gong, digga, dong, dong, dong.
Oh, I hate this guy so much. And then, the wife is like, he never cries. Oh, come on.
Yeah,
cries
Tartar.
Every day.
Tartar's like,
oh, he never cries. This is so unique.
Yeah.
And Rachel's then, like, I love symbolic things. Yin yang, anybody?
So then the dad's
they have
like,
that roast food scene. Yeah.
He's like,
we've made dinner. The lovely mung bean dinner.
And the Tartar's like, yeah, mung bean is the secret ingredient.
Yeah. But then the dad's like, Pararoop is like, I'm so good at cooking. Like, I love cooking so much because it's just another thing that I'm good at, like cooking and gonging. I mean, if I had to choose, I couldn't because it's like they're both something I'm so good at.
Yeah, cooking and is my parenting. Meditation. It's cooking like, is my meditation.
Yeah, it's like cooking, sprouted mung beans, parenting, and gonging. Like, I don't know. They're all neck and neck because I'm so good at all of them.
This asshole. So Dean's like, he's like, is anything wrong, Dean? And Dean says, yeah, it looks delicious, Dad. I'm just sorry I ate it before I got here, but God, that McDonald's sure was shining from the freeway.
And he's like, well, you should be hungry when you get here.
And Rachel's eating, which I was like, you traitor. You put down your fork. You whore.
With your Debbie feather.
Yeah. So then Dad is like, well, Dean, I would like to have some alone time with you. And so he takes him in the, and Dean's like, all right. So he takes him in the other room and he's like, well, Dean, and it's so clear that he is loving that he's on TV right now.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I'm happy that you're doing something that you love to do. And Dean's like, which is what? And he goes, hanging out with beautiful woman, I guess.
I can tell you're not the same man as you were a year ago. You have a man chakra now. It's so cool.
Yeah, and then he goes, didn't think you had it in you.
Oh, this
little
guy.
Dig. Fuck this guy. Seriously, fuck this guy. The little dick, the, yeah, didn't think you had it in you. I had to replay it a few times because I was like, is he really that openly aggressive?
Yeah, and it's worse because he's hiding behind this, oh, I gong and mung bean. So then outside, Rachel's talking to the sister, and this girl's crying before she even starts.
She's like,
I mean, it's really hard with my mom's passing, and my dad wasn't there, like, at all. And it takes time because there's, like, so much anger, and they haven't even talked about it. And Dean's been through a lot of stuff, and he's been so strong to have never murdered him because, like, I'm so weak. But he's so strong, and it's really cool. Ugh. So sad. This whole thing is so sad. And then back inside, he's like, you know, Dean, I look at you and I think, what a good kid. I must be a good dad if I got such a good son. And Dean tries to take him to task here, but we see why Dean can never take him to task and what he was trying to tell Rachel. Like, you cannot talk to a person like this. He's like, so you're a good dad, huh? Do you think you're still fulfilling your role as a dad? He's like, well, of course, I'm a father and I'm a good son. He's like, so were you there for me after mom died? And he's like, well, I did. I was there. I worked my ass off to get you through school, and I worked. And Dean's like, well, you know, mom died and I was alone and then everybody separated and nobody came through for each other as a family. You know, there was never that moment where we were just all okay together. And he's like, well, I was angry. And he's like, what were you angry about? He's like, and mom dying. Which is, by the way, this is so sad, even though I'm doing cartoon voices. And Dean's like, we were all angry, you know? I remember everything about that moment. You came into my room, you said, mom died 30 minutes ago, and you left. And he's like, I don't want to get into it. It was horrible. It was horrible to see her die. And I did everything I could do. And then she was gone, and it was over.
And basically, he started making it about him, though. Yeah. His son is talking about what he felt, and the dad goes, I know. I was there. It was hard for me. I had to watch her die. I had to watch her just shrivel up. And it's like, oh, dude, your son is telling you that you haven't ever had any closure with him. You didn't even talk to him about it after it happened. And he's like, what about me?
Yeah. And he's like, but I didn't even like have anybody to take care of me. He's like, well, I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to cook. Like, okay, you just made mung beans and talked about how cooking is your joy. Like, do you not see how offensive this is, you fuck? And Dean is trying, you know, God bless him. He's like, well, yeah. I felt abandoned, and that's it. And he's like, well, Dean, if that's how you feel, then there's no more conversation.
Well, first Dean goes, Dad, he goes, do you remember the arguments we had when I was in school when mom passed? Oh, this is earlier on. And he goes, do you think we've changed? And the dad goes, well, I didn't have arguments. You did. And then Dean's like, okay, this is such a thing that my stepfather used to say. Like, it was all the dad is just like, it's all you. You're the problem. Mm-hmm. And then Dean's like, do you understand my frustration? And he goes, no, how could I? Why would I? I'm not you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when Dean said, I feel abandoned, he said, well, if that's how you feel, then no more conversation. Because one thing I've learned is what you're mad at is yourself. You're mad at yourself, Dean. I never knew my father. He was a son of a bitch and left us. And I'm like, ding, ding, ding. Do you even realize that you just laid out the problem and then what you're mad at is yourself and I'm mad at my father for abandoning me. Like, then hello?
Then he gets mad and Dean's like, I don't understand what's going on. And he goes, well, you come in here. I open my home to you, you know, and then you just come in here making bold statements.
Those weren't just mung beans. Those were sprouted mung beans, you ungrateful son of a bitch.
Yeah. And then Dean's like, well, okay, you admit you abandoned me, right? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, so how is that a bold statement?
Yeah.
How is it a bold statement to say that you abandoned me when you said you abandoned me? And he's like, I'm done here.
Yeah. And then he started cursing, which is my favorite. Because I love when fakers like this are so easily knocked off their fucking fake ass soapbox. I love it. He's like, you have your foot in the fucking past, Dean. God damn it. You got my blessing, Dean, okay? Go forward with love and leaves. Feather, feather, feather. I love you regardless, you son of a bitch. God damn, this bullshit's over, right? Blah! I was like, yeah. Like, nice job, champ.
Yep. This is why he was mad. He was mad because, as you said before, he thought, oh, these cameras are going to be here. Oh, well, because, you know, he was trying to take like a credit for his son. Like, oh, I raised this great son here because look at him. He's coming here. He's on a television show. I don't know what he does on that TV show. I guess he's just like around beautiful women. I don't know. Whatever. He's done a thing with beautiful women and I'm going to take the credit for it. And I'm going to show everybody this great way that I live, the superior, more loving, more peaceful way that I live. And then he's all mad because he's like, oh, now you're trying to make a fool of me. Oh, you came in here just to show that I abandoned you. You're going to try to make me talk about stuff. Well, that's it.
Yep. Which normally on these shows, I would be on the dad's side because I think showing up at your parents' house and then confronting them about all sorts of abuse, and it's like they didn't sign up to be on this show. But this guy, fuck this guy. And Dean didn't even do it in a mean way. No. And I think this guy just figured, oh, well, this is an easy step because everybody forgives me now because he can't come in here and fight with me in front of cameras. He has to make it look good so he wins the show, you know?
Right, right. But he just came off like such an empty loser when he starts the thing out by going, yeah, you're doing really good. You're doing what you're good at, which is what?
Dating.
Being around beautiful women, I guess. It's like he immediately showed that he's a fraud.
So Rachel gets with the dad. She's like, can I have a moment with you? And he's like, I don't know about this. I'm really kind of done unless there's something specific. I don't know. She's like, well, I just want to talk to you because, you know, you welcomed me into your home and it's important for me to meet you because Dean's important to me. And he's like, well, the only thing I say about that, Rachel, is Dean is an incredible man. And your relationship with me is in some way through him. I'm like, God, how stupid are... I mean, I get that
Then all of a sudden, he's just like, you know what? I'm not doing this charade. But whatever.
Yeah, he just gets up and walks off. Whatever. He's like, nope.
Rachel,
I wish you blessings. But my son's feelings were harsh. And if it goes further, you're welcome to come back. You know, we have a lovely bottle of Tapatitos if you didn't love the mung bean as much, but we'll ease you into it, dear. Blessings. And then he does that little bow. And he's like, I honor the process. Bow. Bye. God. And then Dean is lying down on all those nasty-ass cat hair-covered pillows inside. Oh,
it's like you're going to get lice, Dean. No.
Chewing gum and crying. And Rachel's just made him do this whole fucking thing, even though he didn't want to. And he knows. I mean, I think he knows, you know. He's probably surprised that bitch didn't drive off in a car, you know. Right. And she's like, well, I talked to your sister, and she said you're strong. And he's like, oh, geez. And the dad's watching through the door like, oh, now they're on my pillows.
Yeah.
I have to sage this shit for another week, that son of a bitch.
Yep.
Oh, God. Yeah. So Dean's like, well, I know I'm falling in love with you. Ugh. And it's so awkward because he just knows. I mean, this just sucks for him. This whole thing just sucked. It was hard to watch.
And he's trying to talk to Rachel while, you know, the dad is like outside approaching producers just going, can I get some more money for the location fee? I didn't know I was going to have to be wandering outside watering my plants.
It's past 9. Tartar needs her sleep. That's an extra $500. Rachel back in real life is like, well, I got zero clarity from the families. There's a dude with a serial-killing mom, a Sikh dad with mung beans, a boring dude who models cheese, and Eric. So this is going to be great. Glad I did this show.
And I was like, I know she's going to get rid of Dean. I know she is, but she can't. Like,
rid of Peter, because here's the thing. At least she knows that Dean really likes her. I mean, for Dean to put himself through that is a lot. Because that has got to be fucking soul-crushing for him to have gone through. Peter is like, well, I don't even know if I like you. You know?
Right. Well, I feel, this is my opinion. I felt like she's been stringing Dean along the whole time. I don't think she, I think she thinks he's cute, but like a son. And I honestly think Rachel has a weird thing where she feels like she's going to rescue people. She's going to help them. She kind of does it with Eric, and she does it with Dean, where she's like, I'm going to, do you ever reach out to your dad? Well, I think you should tell him how you feel. That kind of stuff. Like, knowing she's not going to choose him, it just seems awful to like put this whole family in the same room, knowing that Dean is going to be traumatized from this. No
Yeah.
matter what, the guy needs some therapy after this. And how is he supposed to have any like actual deal with his feelings for her when he's just been put right in the middle of this like pot of boiling toxic waste?
Well, the thing that worries me the most is she's going to go after herself, in that everything she's told us so far leads us to believe she's got major daddy issues. And her dad is a very controlling force in her life, who takes zero shit and is very picky and domineering, et cetera, et cetera. Well, guess who else has that? Fucking chipmunk cheek chiropractor. And I'm really
Yep.
hoping that she's not doing the typical pop psych thing where she's just picking her own issues to like have an ally, you know, they can go to battle against each other's issues with each other, because it's so fucked up, you know? But it's also very normal and happens all the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, so
Ronnie, we're
Chris
so
comes back.
good. We should do therapy for these people.
Well, I
We
just
should have our
have
own
gone, you
spin-off
know, I've
show.
gone through so much of that because I do the same thing. You know, like you see it in your own relationships.
Of
It's weird,
course.
even on such a fake show, when it starts getting real, you're like, oh no, I relate to this.
Yes.
So Chris
I
comes
was.
in and he's like, hey, hey, Rachel, I just wanted you to know you done good. I'm like, okay, nice urban slant, Chris. Jesus
Yeah.
Christ, with this show. It's like, bring it right back. Bring us right back,
Right.
Chris.
So now it's time for the rose ceremony. And she's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Yes, you do know what you're gonna do, Rachel. Dumb hoe.
She should feel
All right.
guilty though, because this was really, really bad when
Yeah.
she dumped Dean. This was
Yep.
not cool. I mean, you made him do all that shit. You made him do all that shit and then dumped him for it.
Okay, so this is what I was thinking. I'm terrible producer mind. I was like, okay, maybe what she's actually doing is doing him a favor because he would be a good bachelor. So
Well, you can
maybe.
still be a good. I mean, it's the top four that they pick from, right?
Well, it's not usually one of the top two. And okay, this is going to sound terrible, but they're not going to pick Eric. They just had a black bachelorette, and you know this show's racist. They're just not going to have a black bachelor right afterwards. And if they
Oh.
do, it's not going to be Eric.
Well.
So, and then they almost never pick from the top two.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe he can because Dean is so cute. I hope he's the next bachelor. I love him. I love him.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. I'm thinking maybe her thinking is because before this episode, I never would have thought he would be a good bachelor. But now that we've all sort of fallen in love with him because we feel terrible for him, maybe it's like that was her, like she actually did him a solid.
I hope so, because it seems like Peter's angling for that. You know, Peter's very
But
good. He's like,
Peter's.
I'm at the end, but I don't think I'm ready yet. I just don't think I'm ready yet. I mean, that is so like, I'm the next bachelor. And so I think he probably has the best chance.
Yeah, but walls are up, no personality.
Yeah, but walls are up because it's not the right one. Will he finally find love when it's the right one? Or do they like him to be victimized? Where they're like, his heart was broken.
Well, I think a little of that, and also I think that Peter doesn't have enough personality anymore. He kind of did at the beginning, but then like a builder came over and put walls up, and then and the scaffolding came in, and then they got reinforced with some steel, and now he's boring.
Oh, man. Well, I guess we'll find out soon. We'll be
Yeah.
back next week with another episode to figure this shit out.
Wait, but hold on a second. You forgot about the part where after, so she picks, so it goes Brian, Eric, Peter, ouch. And then afterwards, Rachel's like, Dean goes, I told you I was falling in love with you. And she's like, yeah. And he goes, and you said the same thing.
Yeah, and she's like, I meant it.
Oh, snap. This is going to come back on her.
Yep.
And she watches this with whoever she picks. That's not good.
And she also, did this,
she told him she loves him.
Did you notice that they had them sitting in front of a painting of birds? I mean, that is just so fucking sad. And you know the producers found that only painting of birds to, like, tie it up with the dead mom feathers. It's like, Jesus Christ, you guys. This is sad enough without making the poor guy sit in front of a fucking poster of birds holding his dead mom feather. Like, come on.
Yep. Oh, I'm looking at Twitter, by the way, about The Bachelorette. And every tweet is about, like, dragged him home, drudged up his past, only to say goodbye.
Yeah, it wasn't nice.
I feel so uncomfortable that we exploited a man's family issues and now we're watching his heart break. This doesn't feel okay.
It didn't. I mean, okay, I don't good. Feel so things ABC, often, okay? Yeah. I legit felt for him.
Nobody likes that they did that and then she kicked him off.
Yeah, that was not cool. So that pretty much brings us to the end of this episode of Rose Pricks. Thank you so much to everybody who supports us over on Patreon. The bonus episode this week is super fun, as they always are. You can get that at rosepricks.com, find out how to sign up or whatever. And if you don't sign up, we still love you because you are supporting us with your ears right here, right now. I'm doing a live show with Watch What Crappens September 2nd here in Los Angeles. It's our biggest show yet. It's going to be so much effing fun. So get tickets and come out and play. We're going to do a bunch of weekend events since it's the holiday weekend. It should be a really good time. And Stephanie,
so excited for you.
I sure love you, my little Steph.
I love you too. I'm gonna miss you,
babe. Until Monday, my little knucklehead.
Okay, goodbye, everybody.
Mom feathers.